Great beard. Yes. On my way to hospital, getting the fucking the last of the sort of stitches and shit out from the pacemaker. I'm now the bionic man, you know. I had to stop for an emergency sort of. The breakfast I had at home wasn't quite enough. So baked beans. And you know, there's actually people around who are so fucking stupid. Oh, that car's fucking 2 km away. Because this is a single lane road, you know. And you each pull off, you know, take half of each other's car off the road and pass and then go back onto the full lane yourself, you know. So, there's no point sort of doing it when you're not real far away or when you're a fair distance away. But here we go. Oh, there's two of them. And my path might be crossing with Blondo the super bitch. Fuck, you know. See, there's such a thing as some women don't like me, and some women are just generally fucking nasty. And some women are extremely selfish, self-centred, nasty, shallow, you know, that's just the way they are. And it's all right not... it's all right not to like me, that's fine, you know, people are allowed to fucking their choices, you know. But see, what I gave you the matter some analysis, and she was really nice at this very fucking superficial level, you know. It was always nice to run into her and say hi, how you doing, and just a bit of chit chat on the way past, sort of thing. But the moment I crossed that line from getting into some sort of positive, I mean, she lives, you know, like, you know, 130-140 km away. It's not like, you know, some chick just around the corner sort of stuff, or who I'd like to be rooting, you know. She lives a long way away, and you know, our paths sort of cross once every 4 or 6 weeks, you know, on average, sort of thing, you know. And what happened was I went up to her, and sometimes I might go up to her and ask her where something is, or, you know, are you out of stock on this item or whatever like that, you know. And it's no big deal, but, you know, I always sort of thought I really liked her because she was smiley and friendly, you know. But when I crossed that line to actually, you know, like, I was really impressed by that Margaret Thatcher interview. And because when Margaret Thatcher was in full swing and it was World War III in England, between her and the fucking unions, you know, I was too young to understand that at the time, and we live on the other side of the world, and like, I was a young teenager sort of thing, you know. And but when I got older and I began to understand some of these issues, and that she was really, some really incredible things were going on there, you know. And that she was the Prime Minister of England, I think it was for 39 years or something, or 29 years. And there's one particular interview, she gave her insights into life, and I wondered, I thought, this is fucking really impressive, you know. So, you know, I wasn't sort of in the frame of mind to go get this fucking woman, you know, big thing of flowers or anything like that. That was more of a positive engagement on a person-to-person basis, you know? And sometimes you don't nearly... And sometimes you don't really need to have sort of complex psychological kind of interactions just to be able to sort of figure out where they're at as people. So I wrote down the YouTube name of the file, the video file, and I wrote down the YouTube address, you know, the code, you know, the web address, on a piece of paper with a pencil. Oh, pencil, oh, romantic. Like, and I said, look, I've got this video that I was really impressed by and I wanted to fucking share it with you because it's really good. You know, it's Margaret Thatcher, who was the Prime Minister of England for 29 years, and it's a really fucking, it's a really good interview. And she looks up at me and I look down at her because she's short, you know. And I look up at her and she goes, oh no, sorry, I probably wouldn't have time to watch it, you know. And I said, no, you know, and I sort of insisted a bit, you know. And I said, no, keep it. You keep it, you know, have it, the piece of paper. I said, have a look at it, it's really impressive, it's good. And then she goes, oh, no, I definitely wouldn't have time for that, you know. You know, wouldn't have time to watch it, no, don't have time, no, you know. And I thought, well, and I looked at her brain, you know, because she's sort of in her mid-40s, and what, especially with women, you know, is that the prevailing sort of train of thought that they have, be it sort of positive and cheerful and happy, or negative and fucking just antagonistic and sour, you know, what they tend, what their sort of natural disposition is, Jesus fuck, will reflect in the thoughts that they're having, you know, the thoughts that they have. And these attitudes, you know, will come through in how they, in how they, the expressions that they have on their face, you know. And so you know, when I stopped to ask, and I just stayed on a little bit longer, you know, when I stayed there for a couple of seconds and examined her, I saw the prevailing, I saw the lines in her face, the wrinkles, you know, the wrinkles in her mid-40s face. And I thought, yeah, that's a really negative attitude, but she looks, by the way she's worn her face in, to be having a lot of really negative attitudes almost all of the time, you know. She looks decidedly ugly in character and as a person, you know, and she looks decidedly unpleasant. And, you know, then I sized, that's what I saw, you know. So, you know, and that afternoon when I went back through that place, you know, because I usually sort of stop there for a breakfast run, and then I sort of go on to, you know, do some other things on the way back, you know. And what came out of it was that, see, I've got a sharp eye, and that might be sometimes, you know, for some things, but that's the first time I've ever seen her wearing her fucking engagement ring and her wedding ring. See, But sort of unfortunately for her, I've got a fucking sharp eye, you know. I can hand grind things to within a tenth of a millimetre quite easily just by eye, you know. And because I develop all sorts of abrasives for all sorts of purposes, and I have a really good understanding of the subject, that means grinding wheels and jewelers' rouge, you know, which is iron oxide, you know, it's a soft polish. Because, and cutting compounds and grinding lenses and, and all sorts of things. You know, and I'm very, very fucking nitpicky about corrosion and scratches and all sorts of shit, you know. Really high-end kind of stuff, you know. I've got the smarts and the experience of developing a lot of these things. And you know how when you get really nice, clean glass, that means it's, you know, there's no visible scratches or imperfections in the surface, and it's glassy smooth, you know? Well, when people wear wedding rings, in the 7 years, say 7 years of knowing this chick, I've never seen her wearing a wedding and engagement ring at work, ever, you know? And what happened was, when, it's also, this sort of stuff extends into grinding, like, you know, surgical equipment and stuff like that, putting super, super, super sharp edges on things, and so the steel, you know, the iron alloys, you know, the stainless and all this other sort of stuff is like a mirror finish, you know. And it's like super fine grinding, and depending on the grain and all this other sort of shit of the alloy, you know, you can really take stuff up to sort of like an extremely high polish depending on the alloy, you know. And I looked at these wedding rings, this wedding ring and this engagement ring, just for a second, and I thought, that stuff looks virtually brand new, and it looks like it's been, you know, like she's an old boy, let's say she's like about, you know, mid-40s, you know, and it looks like, I'm not going to say this is true, but if it came to light, I'd believe it, you know. But if I was going to invent a story to explain the situation, I'd say, well, I reckon, you know, on the day of her wedding, she was caught fucking around with other guys, and so she's kept the ring and all that sort of stuff, stuck it in it, because gold doesn't tarnish. You know, well, you can if you know how, you know. But, you know, and she's just put them away clean, wiped them over clean, put them back in the little ring box, and stuck them in a bedside drawer for the last 25 years or whatever, you know. And she's just pulled them out, you know, because they have been incredibly highly polished so that they are glassy, smooth, there's no wear and tear marks on them, you know what I mean? Like if someone was to wear a gold ring and they were to be, say, bricklaying, well, the bricks would scratch the fuck out of the rings, so, and it'd go like a real dull, scratchy sort of look. But if they were sort of working with, say, just doing the dishes and, you know, the housework and stuff like that, and they worked in a clean office or whatever, you know, where there's not a lot of mechanical sort of damage to the rings would still be shiny, but they would have micro scratches all over them, which would mean they are sort of a more of a matte gold colour than a satin gold colour, you know, like the glassy finish versus the matte sort of finish, you know. All this, really fine scratches from wear and tear and dust and rubbing and all this other sort of stuff would put a sort of a satin sheen on it instead of a glassy fucking sheen on it. And I thought, you know, if that story, you know, if it was just a made-up story that she'd been caught fucking around with other guys on a wedding day and put the rings away, you know, brand new, and pulled them out, you know, that story, totally invented by me, but that would sort of fit the narrative, because I've never seen rings like that on a woman that age, and to see rings like that in such absolutely fucking pristine condition, ever, you know, ever. And I mean, you know, I build microscopes and telescopes and optics and all sorts of shit, and super fine lens finishes and grinding compounds and stuff like that. So, you know, I know what I'm on about, and so, you know, I've never seen absolutely pristine fucking rings like that ever, you know. And as far as, you know, it's just, this is all made up, you know, but as far as her being, you know, the myth of her sort of going out and fucking around on a wedding day, then putting her rings in their jewellery, in their little ring boxes, for and in the bedside drawer for the last 20 fucking years or whatever. The nastiness, you know, that would kind of fit in with that sort of a character, because she's good looking and she looks really fucking nasty, and she'd be in with other fucking assholes, guys who are real assholes too, you know. And she doesn't have to find me attractive, but she can, you know, she was just downright, hey, when she said, probably wouldn't have time to watch that, you know, but she's, the thing where she fucks up is she doesn't know how long it runs for, you know, it runs for 15 minutes, and for someone to make up a story like that straight off the fucking cuff, that's called lying. And it's also being disrespectful. Someone thought enough of this person to want to share this thing with her, you know, and get some sort of positive engagement rather than just the purely superficial sort of shit, you know. And so, you know, and it's being a fucking ingrate, and it's being disrespectful, you know. And I thought, well, you know, she lies straight off the fucking cuff. She's disrespectful, she's an ingrate, and what was the other word? When I saw the lines in her face, which are her normal, which appear to be her normal fucking disposition, what she's really like when she's not going, hi, how are you, having a nice day today, you know, that sort of shit, when she's normally at her home, that's what I reckon she's really like. She's a fucking nasty bitch, you know. So the story I invented, you know, purely conjecture, but it sort of fits the narrative of what she's really like as a person, what she's likely to do at being that kind of a person, you know. And you know, having rings, these rings were better than brand new. They were fucking highly polished to like a glass-like surface. There's a technique in glass blowing, and it's called flame polishing. So what you do is when you, say, cut a bit of glass tubing, to get rid of that sharp kind of coarse edge, what you do is you generally, depending on the glass type, whether it's soda lime glass or borosilicate glass, but what you do is you slowly introduce it to the flame and slowly heat it all up all around, so there's the thermal stress is not too severe and doesn't crack the glass. And what you do is you heat that glass up to a red heat, or a higher red heat, you know, orangey sort of colour, depending on the glass type and its melting point and stuff like that. And what happens is that glass melts the sharp edges off it, you know, the heat melts it softens and it melts the hard fucking edges off it, you know, the sharp edges, and it becomes very glass-like, you know, very fucking smooth, you know. You can, you know, run it across your tongue and it won't cut. It's flame polishing. It's the glass melts and then forms a very fucking smooth layer, you know. And that's what those rings were like. They were like flame polished glass. And it was extraordinarily shiny, you know, glass-like surface on the rings, you know. I've never seen that before. Only on brand new rings that have just been highly polished, you know. Brand new rings from the manufacturers that have gone through all the special polishing processes to make them extraordinarily clean and also extraordinarily like a very, very high surface finish, you know. So my story, it's all conjecture, but it kind of lines up, you know what I mean? I'm just saying it's not true, but if it was later revealed to be true, I'd probably say, yeah, fuck, you know, I was right, you know what I mean? Or something similar to that or something. There's something not wrong. There's something wrong in the picture where a woman who in the mid-40s after 7 years of knowing her suddenly decides to wear a brand new engagement ring and a brand new fucking, or appearing to be brand new, but a brand new looking engagement ring and a wedding ring on the same fucking day, on the same fucking finger. Now, after 7 years of not wearing them to work, and the rings have no marks of general wear and tear on them at all, you know? So, do you know what I mean? That's the thing. People go, oh, you know, I've got to fucking, you know, I've got to do all this sort of simping sort of shit, you know what I mean? Asking her out on dates and this and that and this and that. You know, if you really play your cards right and you're observant, and it's not a case of hoping that she'll accept you and like you. If she's not nice and sincere and honest and upfront and friendly from the very fucking start, you know, basically it's a case of what you see is what you get, you know. And so in engaging with her like that by saying, hey, there's this really good video of Margaret Thatcher, here's the web address and here's the name of the fucking video, you know. Have a look at it, and it's terrific, you know. And then just watching everything unfold from that fucking woman, from her lying, from her lack of gratitude, from her dishonesty, to her nastiness, the prevailing undercurrents of her fucking personality. And I thought, oh, fucking Blondo, he is a real cunt, you know. that was all like in 30 seconds, you know. And so, MGTOW men, practice the art of observation. And get off that shit of, you know, looking for things that you're hoping to find, rather than what you see is what you get, you know. So, you know, I feel good, you know. She belongs to the streets, you know. Just fucking, you know, there's good lying, and then there's necessary lying, and then there's just, you know, just barefaced fucking bullshit, you know what I mean? Just barefaced fucking dishonesty, you know? Like, an example of good lying is like, say, say if you had a friend and the cops wanted this person, say for armed robbery, and you knew that he'd been out of the country for the last 6 weeks, yet they claimed they've got evidence of him pulling the robbery 2 weeks ago, you know? And they've just come banging on your door looking for this guy, and, you know, then, you know, you put two and two together and you say, oh, nah, sorry, I haven't seen him, you know? Because you knew that you rang him in Acapulco or some shit, you know, 2 weeks ago, and he was in the fucking other country on the other side of the world, you know? And you know that these cops are slifty, shifty, sleazy fucking shits who are setting him up or whatever, you know? So that's good lying. It's necessary lying. And then say if you're, say, running a business and you're about to take the cash down to the bank or whatever, you know? You know, or someone's about to take the cash down to the bank, then someone comes in looking to rob the place, then you say, oh, no, no, they left fucking 10 minutes ago. But if you catch up to them, you know, that's you might get them before they get to the bank, you know. And go, oh, yeah, yeah, I think they're a real fucking arsehole too, you know what I mean? Yeah, fuck, go get it, you know. That's good lying, and that's necessary lying, you know. You know, so, but then there's just straight out fucking nastiness and dishonesty and disrespect and a lack of gratitude. You know, she's a fucking ingrate, you know. Oh, no, no, I wouldn't have time to see that. Oh, no, you know. And she doesn't even know how long it goes for. She doesn't know whether it's, you know, war and peace, you know, it goes for 6 hours. You know, Zoltz, you know, I forget his name, like Zoltz Kineski or something like that, and it goes for 6 hours. She doesn't know, but she said, I probably won't have time to watch that, you know. And like, there's 15 minutes, so one of the most incredible interviews on the face of the fucking planet, and she just shit cans it without even knowing, without even asking how long it runs for. She's telling me, you know, she doesn't know how much, she's telling me she doesn't have time to watch it. Like, fuck off, you know. That's lying. And, and then the follow-up expression of, fuck, it's an ugly attitude. Ugly character, you know, nasty. And so I guess the difference between me and her is if I was someone who I had some respect for, was to say, hey, have a look at this, check it out. Yeah, it's really impressive, you know. I'd do them not out of fucking ass-licking observances, but like I'd pay them the respect. They thought enough of me that they wanted to share that with me. And they said, this is really impressive. I'd be more than happy to at least examine it. I didn't say I had to fucking like it or dislike it, but I'd say this is an opportunity to learn, you know? And I'd make the most of that opportunity, you know? And, you know, but she's a complete, you know, I'd say thank you, this is very kind of you, this is, you know, this is good that you thought enough of me to want to share this with me, and in the hope that I'd be able to gain something from it, I'll give it a look at, thank you very much, you know. But her default setting is immediately lying, immediately shit-canning the opportunity, it's just pure disrespect, she's a fucking ingrate. And when she pulled that face after it, I thought, what a fucking, this woman is a fucking asshole, you know. She's nasty. She's unpleasant. She's not a nice woman to be around, you know. So that's me and Blondo. Imagine. The imaginary romance is over. Oh, woe is me. But, so I've made up my mind. that next time we're in the same time and space together, to just, you know, just brush her off, you know. Don't be fucking rude, but, you know, you don't want to go out with a chick like that, you know. Because it's a case of what you see is what you get, you know. And, you know, get out of the fucking road. Fuck, I've had about... I don't know if this is the day of the dead birds or the day of the fucking big trucks, because on a route that gets almost no traffic, I've passed probably 11 or 12 big sort of V-double sort of gravel trucks, you know, coming the other way, maybe 12, maybe 13, maybe, you know, and yeah, probably 12. And I've had about, from almost seeing no birds ever sort of thing, I've had kind of excessively close calls with about 15 birds today. So, yeah. Well, that's good. Well, I've got to make a phone call. So I have to go. I'm just got to let some people know I'm running a bit late. So, bye.